We're looking at questions about worship, and in this lesson, we're looking at questions about the role of women in worship. The main question that we want to pursue is this: is it biblical for a woman to preach? And also, we're going to look at questions like, is it right, is it biblical for a woman to lead singing? Is it right for a woman to lead prayer? And in addition, although this question doesn't really pertain to the worship service specifically, since we're going to be in a passage that does address this question, we'll raise it as well, and that is it right for a woman to serve as an elder or a deacon in the church? There are two key passages that deal with these questions. One of them is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the other one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So let's look first of all at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Here the Bible says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Now the important thing to remember about this passage is that the word men is not your generic word for mankind. Many times in the Bible, the word man refers to mankind, and so it includes men and women. But here, in this passage, the word men specifically refers to males. Now, there are two reasons why that's true. First of all, the Greek word here for men is the specific word for males. But you don't have to know anything about the Greek to realize this, because in the next verse, Paul said, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." So what he's saying is, in verse 8, here's what I want the men to pay attention to, and in verse 9, here's what I want the women to give attention to. So the women are set in contrast to the men. So he's talking to the men in verse 8, he's talking to the males in verse 8, and he says that men need to give particular attention to praying. Well, men and women both are to pray, aren't they? We're all to pray as far as our personal, private prayers are concerned. So he must be talking about something else. And it seems that what he's talking about here is the fact that men are to take the lead when it comes to praying. So what we find then is that beginning in verse 11, Paul continues this thought of the role of men and women. And in verses 11 and 12, we have a very direct answer to the question that we raised in the very beginning. In verse 11 of 1 Timothy 2, Paul said, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now let's go back to verse 11, and let's break this down and examine it. Paul said, "Let the woman learn in silence." Now the word silence here does not mean that the woman cannot utter a single word. It does not mean absolute and complete silence in that sense. The word silence here has to do with quietness. In other words, it's qualified by the rest of the sentence, which says that she is to learn in silence with all subjection. What he's talking about here, of course, is that the woman is not to take the lead, and she's certainly not to domineer. This is to be her role when it comes to learning, and we're talking about, of course, learning spiritual things here in this context. So the word silence means quietness, and there's a great Bible example of this meaning of the word in Acts chapter 21, beginning in verse 38 and going through chapter 22, verse 2 of the book of Acts. The Bible says that the crowd made a great silence. And then when they heard Paul speak in the Hebrew tongue, that is, in the Hebrew language, they gave the more silence. Well, if they were silent in the sense of not saying a single word and not even making a sound, then how could they become more silent? Well, what it means is that the crowd quietened down, and then it quietened down even more. So the word quietness here refers to that kind of idea in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 as well. Now then, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, Paul directly answers the question that we're pursuing. He says, but I suffer not. That is, I do not allow, I do not permit a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Now, the expression, the phrase, over the man, is key here. He doesn't say that a woman cannot teach in any way whatsoever in any setting at all. He says that a woman cannot teach. He does not allow a woman to teach or to usurp, that is, to have or to exercise authority over the man. That's what he's forbidding. He doesn't say that a woman can't teach and then put a period after the word teach. She is not to teach over the man. She is not to teach in such a way as to have or exercise authority over the man. And she is not to exercise authority over the man in spiritual matters in general, not just the teaching. He says that she is not to teach or to usurp, that is to have authority over the man. So the last expression about having authority over the man is more general. That's more broad than the teaching. So this passage answers the question. Paul clearly forbids a woman here to preach, that is to preach to an audience not just of women, but of men as well. He clearly forbids a woman to teach a class where you've got men and women both in the class. And this also means that a woman cannot lead singing, where you've got men, of course, involved, and lead a prayer where you've got men in that audience. You see, the whole context here, beginning in verse 8, and going actually down into chapter 3, is about male leadership. Remember, the idea of male leadership is not just in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It begins at least in verse 8 and goes all the way down through chapter 3, verse 12. That's the theme. That is the concept involved in those passages. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 12, let's notice again very briefly here what he says about elders and deacons in the church. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Then in verse 12, he says, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. This absolutely shows that a woman cannot serve in the office of an elder or a deacon. The Bible forbids that. Now, here are a few objections and questions to what we're talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The first one, and this is probably the most common question about this passage, is this. Does this passage in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 apply to our time? Is it for today? Or was it just something that Paul said about that day and age? Is it something that only applied in Bible times in first century culture? Was Paul simply dealing with a situation that existed in Ephesus where Timothy was? Or is this teaching, is this a law for all people in all places of all times? So is it temporary legislation or is it permanent teaching in the church? Well, Paul answers that question in verse 13 and 14. This is not temporary teaching that Paul just gave to Timothy in Ephesus. This is teaching that is based on a principle that goes all the way back to the creation. This has always been a principle that God has taught, and it has never changed and never will change. So the answer is in verse 13 and 14. Paul said, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So he gives two reasons as to why a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over the man. Reason number one is in verse 13. Because Adam was first formed, then Eve. So Adam was formed, and then the Bible says that Eve, the woman, was made as a help or a helper who is fitting or who is suitable for him. A help who is meet for him. That's reason number one. Now, I realize that that flies in the face of modern culture. I realize that that really makes a lot of people in our society mad. But it is Bible teaching. Let me read a companion passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And also in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8, the Bible says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Now that's 1 Corinthians. That's the Bible. That's not me. That is not some kind of man-made tradition. That is what God in His Word says. Now this doesn't mean that a woman does not have as much value or worth in the sight of God as a man. And it certainly does not give a man the right to abuse his wife and to domineer over her and to mistreat her because he says, "I'm in this position that God gave me." That is an abuse of this teaching. At the same time, this passage definitely does say that the man is to take the lead. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is talking about taking the lead in spiritual matters. He's talking about taking the lead in teaching the word and in other spiritual activities. So the first reason why Paul said this is in verse 13. That is, because Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now the second reason is in verse 14. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." That's being deceived by the devil himself, by the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. So the woman took the lead in that kind of situation, and she did something that was wrong. She misled her husband. And because of that, as an additional reason, God said that the woman would be in subjection to the man. That's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. So notice what's going on here. Notice what he's saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When we ask the question, is this cultural teaching that Paul is giving? Or is it permanent teaching that he's giving for all people of all times and in all places? Well, Paul doesn't say that the reason he does not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over the man is because of culture. He doesn't say it's because of custom, does he? There is no hint about that. You see, when people say that Paul was only dealing with a temporary problem, that he's only dealing with a cultural situation, that it was the custom there that the women would take charge and so you had to kind of balance the situation out, there is absolutely nothing in the Bible to even intimate that. So when people tell you that, they've had to go outside the Bible to get that kind of information. If you just stay with the Bible says that the reasons why that God says that a woman is not to take a leadership role in the church, especially in worship, is because of these two reasons that go back to the creation, not to culture. So what we want to do in the next lesson is to ask some other questions about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and then we want to look at a very important passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, as we continue to look at questions about the role of women in worship today.